subject of death is not a popular subject. And people don't like the subject of death. But God talks about it because we all get to do it. It's a privilege that we all have, that one day we're going to leave this earth. Now, we've been talking, when I've spoken this summer, through 1 Thessalonians. And today we've gotten to 1 Thessalonians, really to 9, but I'm not going to talk about 9 to 12, which speaks about their love and their love abounding, nor about their work. They're to work and labor quietly, that they have no need. But we want to talk about 13 through 18 this morning, which brings us to the topic of what happens when we die. Now, I'm not going to take time this morning to talk about the comparison of paradise with heaven, nor Hades with hell, other than to say, paradise and Hades means what Hades means. The word Hades, Hades in the original language, means disembodied spirits. It's spirits that don't have a body anymore. And all of that realm is Hades, although usually we think of Hades as a place of torture and paradise is a place of pleasure. But paradise is also in the Hadean world, according to the meaning of it. It's spirits that don't have a body. Heaven and hell is what takes place after the bodies are raised and enters into their final state for eternity, and it'll never change. That said, we'll go on. Paul says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those that have fallen asleep, that you have no hope, even as the rest who have, that you sorrow not, even as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so, notice the even so passages in the Bible. Even so shall we also, even so shall they also who have fallen asleep in Christ, God will bring with him. For this we say by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive, that are left till the coming of the Lord, shall in no wise precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Verse 13, Paul says that it seemed obvious that the Christian there didn't understand. They thought that Christ was going to come back quickly. And now they've lived long enough, some of the saints are dying. And they think they've died and lost their hope. Paul is telling them what they're ignorant of, he's going to tell them the truth about. Paul doesn't leave people in darkness. He said, I'd not have you ignorant. He wants people to be enlightened about what God said. There is no fear in Christians in meeting of the Lord in death. No fear. Paul says, you don't be ignorant. Now, ignorant doesn't mean you're dumb or stupid. Ignorant means you're unlearned. These people are unlearned. So what we want to do today is, if we're kind of ignorant in these areas, we want to learn what God says about it. Now, ignorance can be fixed. You can't fix stupid. And when we receive, when our ignorance is taught so that we understand, Now, somebody whose ignorance has been corrected and he understands now, if he don't obey it, that falls in that other category. Stupid. So Paul wants these people to know. He says, don't be like the heathens. Don't be like the pagans. He said, I'd not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those that are fallen asleep, that you sorrow not. There is no sorrow in the death of saints. That you sorrow not, even as the rest who have no hope. Now you can't get a clearer spot. There is no hope for those that are not in Christ. Paul speaks of that in Ephesians 2. Verse 11, he says, you Gentiles who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision of the flesh, made with hands, that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Christians, don't fall in that category. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this fact. He says, I want you to understand you have hope. Christian hope is confident expectation and anxious desire to receive that which God has promised to us in Christ Jesus. Titus 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, who God, who cannot lie, promised before times eternal. Listen, our eternal life is promised by God. No doubt. God doesn't lie. He said he promised that before times eternal. 1 Peter 1, 3 will tell you, thanks be to God, the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If Jesus was raised from the dead, we live eternally in Christ. Paul said that to die is a good thing. Philippians, the Lord, which is very far better. It's very far better to be with the Lord. And he says in there, I'd not have you ignorant concerning those that have fallen asleep. Why does he call it asleep? We look at a person in that casket, and we call him a dead person. God says he's asleep. Because the real you will never die. From the time you're born, you look at the little babies. Annie ought to have one in a day or so. From the time that baby is born, he'll never die. He will never die again. Jesus comes to Martha when Lazarus is dead in John 11. And she says, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus answered her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And if he that believeth on me and has not died, shall never die. We never die. We live forever. And he says in verse 14, for if we believe that the Lord has died and risen again, even so, just like that, we also, who have fallen asleep in Christ, God will bring with him. He said it's all based on the resurrection of Jesus. That tomb is empty. Jesus has been resurrected. If Jesus has been resurrected, he says we are resurrected. In the Corinthian letter, the first one, in chapter 15, when he's talking about the resurrection in verse 12 following, he says, if Christ is preached that he's raised from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection from the dead? If there is no resurrection from the dead, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is vain, and your faith is vain. Yea, we witness, we're false witnesses of God, because we witnessed that God raised Jesus from the dead, who he raised not up, if there is no resurrection. And if the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ not been raised, then your faith is vain, and you're still in your sins. And they that have died in Christ have perished. And if we hope, if we only hope in Christ in this life, we're of all men most pitiable. He ties it all to the resurrection of Jesus. If you believe Jesus died and rose again, then you can have confidence and an assurance that we that are in Christ Jesus will live eternally with Christ Jesus. He says that God will bring them with him. Jesus is coming. God is coming. You'll have to excuse the drawing. I'm not an artist, but I hope they help us understand what's taking place here. And I had a terrible time with this because I can only draw on my iPad, and I'm making this other thing up on my computer. And when they switch back and forth, terrible things happened. So he says there that if Christ died and rose again, even so also them that died in Christ, God will bring with him. God is bringing them with him. There is no advantage, no advantage over the dead who died in Christ. Verse 15 tells us, but by the word of the Lord, this we say by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive that are left until the coming of the Lord shall in no wise precede those who have fallen asleep. We're not going to go anywhere before they do. Paul says we have no advantage over those that has fallen asleep. All of our assurance is not only based on the resurrection of Jesus, it's based on the Word of God. He says, this we say by the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, God both raised up Jesus and shall raise us up through his power. God promises life eternal before the foundation of the world. Jesus' resurrection proves we live forever. And God, who raised Jesus, is going to raise us. Amen. He'll tell you in Romans 8:11, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised Jesus from the dead will give life unto your mortal bodies through the spirit that dwelleth in us. We live. We do not die. But there are still some who are alive. Went too far. At his coming. So he says, this we have by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive are left until the coming of the Lord shall in no wise precede those who have fallen asleep. There are those who have fallen asleep and those who have not fallen asleep. These that are alive or that are left, that's us right here today. And we are here in body and spirit. The person that is buried there is a dead body that God says is asleep. His spirit is with the Lord in heaven. His body died on the cross. That thief died on the cross and was buried. And Jesus says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Now, at this point, we need to leave 1 Thessalonians and go to 1 Corinthians to explain what takes place right here. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, down through about 55, Paul says, this I say, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither can corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we'll all be changed. In a moment, the twinkle of an eye, in the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality. Then cometh the saying that was written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? There is no sting for those who die in Christ. None. There is only victory for us who die in Christ. He tells you and explains that more before that. He tells you in verse 42, and so is the resurrection from the dead. It is sowed in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sowed in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sowed in weakness, it's raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So we have, from this passage, there's a false doctrine that is taught because it says the dead in Christ will rise first. And some take that to mean before the wicked are raised. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul's not discussing the state of the wicked. He's only given assurance and confidence and peace to those that are in Christ. They talk that about that being a period of rapture for 7 years. That's not a biblical doctrine. If it's not a biblical doctrine, it's a false doctrine. If there is such a rapture, our rapture started when we were baptized. And we're going to be in a state of joy even till after Jesus comes. Paul is not discussing the state of the wicked. He has no purpose in talking to the wicked. He's only given assurance to those of us that are in Christ. So these two are together now. They are in body, one in body alone, which is a spiritual body now. The other is in spirit and a spiritual body that has been changed. Now, what is that body there? What's that body going to be? Well, we just said that it's going to be a body that was corruptible, it's now incorruptible. It was in dishonor, it's now in glory. It was weak, it's now in power. It was a natural body, now it's a spiritual body. It's now raised incorruptible, glorious, with power and a spiritual body. What that body is what Jesus is today. Whatever Jesus is today is what we're going to be. Not the God part. We're not going to be deity, but Jesus today is a man. That's shocking to some people. But 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 says, there is one mediator between God and man, himself man, Jesus Christ. Jesus is still in the body that he ascended. And what he is right now is what we're going to be in body, in the spiritual body. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, which we wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our body of humility into the body of his glory. Whatever glorious body Jesus has right now, that's what we're going to have. In 1 John 3, verse 1, he talks about how wonderful this is. The love of God. How great is the love of God that we're called children, and such we are. And the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, we are children of God, and what we shall be, we don't know. But we know that when He is manifest, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone that has his hope set upon Him purifieth himself, even as, there's your even as again, huh? Even as He is pure. We're going to be just like Jesus, an incorruptible, immortal, glorious, powerful, physical or spiritual body, whatever that is. For the Lord shall descend from heaven, for the Lord Himself, He says in verse 16, shall ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. That's what we read about in 1 Corinthians 50. They are raised in Christ. The dead are raised, and then we will go to be with Him. And He tells you, if you go back to Acts 1, in verse 8, where He says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you'll receive power, be My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. Then He's in verse 9, He says, and when He had said these things, as they were looking, He was taken up, and the cloud received Him out of His sight. A cloud received them out of His sight because they can't look on a transformed body. The Scripture tells us over and over again, if a man in his physical body sees God, it'll kill him with all of His brightness and glory. Jesus is going to change in. He has to change. When He was talking to those apostles, He was flesh and blood. As He ascended, He has to be transformed into the spiritual body. So He was covered with a cloud. He was received up in a cloud and He went up from them, because He had to be changed before He could go on to heaven in the spiritual body. In verse 10, still in Acts 1, two men stand there in bright apparel. And in verse 11, they say, you men of Galilee, why stand you looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was received up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you see Him going into heaven. He's going to come in like manner, just like He went. What manner did He go to heaven? In the air. He transferred through the air in a cloud to heaven. So He's coming in the same way. He's coming from heaven in the air, as we'll see in the next verse. There is no scripture in the Bible that says Jesus will ever set foot on earth again. There are none. He went in the air. He's coming in like manner in the air. He's not coming back to earth. Premillennialism, dispensationalism, is not a biblical doctrine. It is a doctrine taught by men outside of what God said. It is a doctrine that comes from a figurative passage that they have twisted all the literal, clear understanding passages to abide by what they think the figurative language means. It's not taught in the Bible. So He says here, then we that are left, they we that are alive that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds, into the air, unto the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We are together. We who are body and spirit are gathered together with those who are body to meet their spirit in the air. And there we will ever be with Him. Now, I said the thousand-year reign, premillennialism, is a false teaching. It's not a biblical teaching. Next, Jesus says he has the power to give life to whom he wants. In verse 27, he says, all men will be judged by Jesus. He's going to judge all men. And then in verse 28, he says, marvel not at this. For the hour cometh that are all are in the grave shall hear my voice and come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment, they're all coming forth the same day. That is the day of resurrection. That's the day when Jesus comes from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and trumpet God. That's the day when all the dead bodies that God says are asleep are going to be raised and have life. They're all going to have a spiritual body that's reunited with their spirit that comes, that has never died, coming from heaven to meet the Lord in the air. Jesus says that day of resurrection, they all hear his voice at the same time. They all come forth, good and evil. And Jesus tells us that resurrection day is the last day. Now, if there is a last day, how many days are after that? There are none. There are none after that. Jesus tells you four times. In John 6, 39, 40, 44, and 40, and 54, he says, I'll raise him up the last day. He says in 40, I'll raise him up the last day. He says in 44, no man can come unto me except the Father that sent me draw him. I'll raise him up the last day. 54, he says, he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood, I'll raise him up the last day. That is the last day. There are no days after that. There are no weeks, months, or years after that. There is no thousand-year reign. It's not a thing taught. From that day on, the realm of time has ended, and we enter eternity. No time in eternity. That day, only eternity remains. And what happens on that day? There will be a change after we leave this earth, who is proven by the rich man and Lazarus, we'll speak of a little later. But when we meet the Lord in the air, everybody's going to meet him, the evil and the good. Paul only speaks of the good. He has no purpose to speak of the evil. And in chapter 25 of Matthew, it says, when the Lord shall come with all of his angels. Can you count the angels? Only one of them kills 185,000 men in one night. Huh? When the Lord shall come with all of his angels and sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be brought all the nations, and he'll separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Then shall the king say to those on his right side, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the eternal kingdom which was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you came unto me. In prison, you visited me. And the righteous will say unto the Lord, when saw we thee? Hungry and gave you to eat, thirsty gave you to drink. Stranger took you in, naked and clothed thee, sick and in prison and ministered unto thee. And the Lord shall say, even as you have done this unto one of these my brethren, even these least, you did it unto me. Amen. Boy, that passage ought to make us diligent in serving our brethren. Amen. Then shall the Lord say to those on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. I was naked, you clothed me not. But the righteous unto eternal life. 46 should have been on that. That's okay. That's okay, Robert. I'm through. The day that we get to die is a wonderful day. There's no victory in death. We are victorious over death. We never die, but we're talking about those that are in Christ. Are you ready to meet Christ today? Because once you have to prepare everything right now before that time. And as I've said before, there is nothing outside of our Lord Jesus Christ that has any value eternally. Not any of it. That day when Jesus come will be so wonderfully amazing, glorious day for those of us in Christ. But a terrible, 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 pitiful, tragedy day for those that are not in Christ. They have no hope. No hope has got to be the gloomiest place in the world. No hope, I think of people that live in places where they physically have no hope, no light at the end of the tunnel. Terrible. And even worse than that is no hope spiritually, because that's eternity in the hells of fire. Being in Christ is joyful. Death is joyful to those in Christ. Life now is good. When we die, it gets better. And when Jesus comes again, it's best of all. We live eternally. If you're not in Christ, if you believe and you're willing to change and be exactly what Christ would have you to be in repentance, if you're willing to accept Jesus as your Lord and willing to take that dead body and baptize it so that it can live eternally, you need to come today. Maybe some have been in Christ and fallen away. Whatever your situation, come now, come right now while we stand and sing.